WGR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Most of the families of the victims of the Uvalde, Texas school shooting have reached a $2 million settlement with the city. Their attorney, Josh Koskoff, says they're now going after others.
Yes, we are suing the state of Texas. And we're also suing, down the line, we'll be suing the federal government.
Residents of Iowa are recovering from deadly tornadoes that swept through the state yesterday. National Weather Service meteorologist Alan Curtis.
We are able to confirm pretty safely at this point within our service area, 6 tornadoes. It is very possible that number increases for us.
Multiple people were killed in the tiny town of Greenfield, southwest of Des Moines. If you're planning to travel this holiday weekend, you're going to have a lot of company. Justin Upshaw with the Los Angeles Airport Authority.
We're expecting it to be busy nationwide. The TSA is projecting it to be one of their busiest weekends ever.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. It's a busy day of storm cleanup for many parts of the state. Severe weather hit just about every region of Wisconsin. Straight-line winds are responsible for most of that damage, but National Weather Service experts will investigate whether any tornadoes touched down. Before that storm system hit us, it moved through Iowa. Multiple people have died in the small town of Greenfield, south of Des Moines. And the cicadas have arrived. Officials from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources say they've gotten photos from someone in Lake Geneva showing the first time they've been seen this year. Even the DNR admits their mating calls can be deafening and annoying. Those are their words, not mine. They're expected to keep emerging in the southern portions of the state through June and won't show up again until 2041. For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A Stevens Point man will spend the next 8 years in prison for possession of child pornography. 31-year-old Alex McDonald was sentenced on May 17th to 8 years of initial confinement and a following 8 years of extended supervision. McDonald pleaded not guilty, but was convicted of 7 counts at his trial in February. Advanced forensic analysis of multiple cellular devices allowed investigators to develop clear proof of McDonald's guilt. This outcome shows the capability of investigators to detect and arrest these types of offenders. It also provides some measure of assurance to victims that offenders will be prosecuted to the fullest possible extent. Today is the last day to register your 6th through 8th graders for an all-day college camp this summer at Midstate. Students can explore careers on June 12th. You can visit mstc.edu/camp for more information. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers win in Miami. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It looked as if the Brewers were about to lose again when Christian Yelich was at bat, top of the eighth, against the team that traded him to Milwaukee, the Marlins.
1-1, line drive, base hit. Ball game is tied. Contreras might have a chance to score from first. He'll be sent around. Yelich on his way to third. He is safe at third with a two-run triple, and the Brewers have the lead. What a moment for Yelich in his former home.
Jeff Levering, Bally Sports. Yelich described what he saw.
I kind of got my doors blown off there with a sinker like the pitch before. That's how hitting goes sometimes. And then I was like, well, probably a good chance I'm going to see that again since I got beat by it so bad. And just really wanted to stay inside it, put a good swing on it. And fortunately, it got to the wall. William was able to score. And, you know, we kind of tacked on after that.
The Brewers went on to win 7-5. Manager Pat Murphy.
This guy's been doing it a long time. He was raised by the Marlins and they taught him well.
The series wraps up tonight with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on WFHR.com. Your news, just for Wisconsin Rapids and surrounding communities. I'm Melissa Kay with WFHR News.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR.
More clouds than sun today and a few spotty showers lingering, alongside breezy winds whipping up to 30 miles per hour. Highs today will scrape the upper 60s and we'll get a shove warmer tomorrow to the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 67 degrees.
The morning show on WFHR. It's dangerous.
6% of our fellow Americans think that they could beat up a grizzly bear.
What? Oh, come on now.
I wouldn't fight Yogi Bear.
Hey, boo-boo. This guy's starting something. What's up?
Gonna take him out.
Don't come for the king unless you miss. Best not miss. Best not miss if you come for the king.
Weekdays from 8 to 10 on WFHR Locally Grown Radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Trumpster asked the judge and said, hey, can I not come to court because I want to go to my son's graduation? So here now, from the raw story, Trump plans Minnesota fundraiser on the day of Barron's graduation. When I graduated, you have a get-together with family and friends. It's kind of a day. A parent shouldn't just be ducking in and out.
You have to be a parent for that. And he is a parent in name only. A pino.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Trump's trying to unite the Reich. We'll talk about it. We'll take your phone calls. Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
Good afternoon and welcome to Midday Magazine for this May 22nd, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here. In part two today at 3:30, we're going to talk to our friends at the ODC. Ann and Ashley will be joining us. Looking forward to that. Right now, joining us in studio, our friend Lance Plimmel, Wood County Board Chairman. And Lance, always good to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
James, I really always appreciate the invitation. It's something, it really is something I look forward to every month. Sometimes I wish we could do it every week.
We also want to send a shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Do yourself a favor, type in your YouTube search bar, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page and keep up to date on all the great work that they are doing over there. And speaking of great work, Lance, at the time we're recording this, we are coming out of a pretty rough night and a lot of storms. I know that our station here was affected, both of our stations, I should say. Our engineering team was working literally into the early morning to try to get us back on the air. I didn't sleep last night. It was just one of those nights. A lot going on in town. A good place to start, feels like, today is how we have handled these storms and how our community comes together.
You know, those are interesting nights. People always ask, you know, what do you do? And there's always an agenda. You know, you kind of have a timetable of what you want to accomplish the next day. And then life happens, and weather is one of those things that comes up, and no matter what you had planned the following day, doesn't always happen. So, you know, it's real interesting. You know, obviously, typically with these types of storms, we have some warning. You know, it's coming, and we're getting prepared a little bit ahead of time. But it's amazing how many of our departments have to come together and how many intergovernmental relationships have to work to really get through these. You know, just to give you an example, and I can touch on all those as we go, you know, you have our dispatch center, and you have Nixel messages going out telling people that this is what's happening, this is where it's occurring. You have our sheriff's department who's got, you know, eyes out in the community telling us what damages occur. You have emergency management trying to coordinate all that. You have public information officers. If it's bad enough, you get the highway department out just pushing trees and debris off of highways. And then you have all the other people that are just affected, you know, ancillarily to the storm itself. You know, some of those are, you know, might be people that are receiving some of our other services through our, you know, human services needs or our health departments. But it's really just amazing. I mean, you think when the power goes out at your house, you know, you grab a flashlight, TV doesn't work. I always laugh, and I always kid my wife. I said, I don't care that TV doesn't work or that we don't have electricity, but it bothers me that cable's out.
Where's my internet?
Which is pretty obvious. But there's some of those things, you know, that you don't think of when you're at home. For instance, if the power goes out and you had an emergency, for instance, in a jail, and you couldn't open the doors, I mean, you look at some of the liability that occurs. So, I mean, some of the even the pre-planning and the time we spend and the dollars that get spent making sure that generators work and they're fueled. I mean, we have battery backup and instantaneous switchover, some stuff. But other things, you got to make sure the generators start. And those aren't little tiny generators, you know, like you have around your house. And you got to make sure that the switch gear works and all that happens. You got to make sure you have adequate fuel. And you don't know how long the power is going to be out. Because in the event of emergency, let's say in a jail, where you had to evacuate, you might have to open doors and do those other things. So there's, whether it's our facilities manager, who's Ruben Van Tassel, whether it's, you know, Sean Becker, who's on the phone with me, our sheriff, Sarah Christensen, emergency management, was texting me last night. I'm on the phone with dispatch. And it isn't just from our perspective as a county. We're talking right down here in Wisconsin Rapids, but it goes to Marshfield. And oftentimes what doesn't affect Wisconsin Rapids really affects Marshfield or vice versa. And so it's a large area, a lot of coordination to bring all this stuff together.
And my first question was going to be how much, certainly you're speaking to our area here, how much we talk with and interact with other communities that are going through something similar possibly. And it sounds like that's a pretty common, that's a quick thing, that's something that happens on a regular.
Yeah, you know, there's some places just on services, there's intergovernmental agreements. And there's other stuff I just call, it's a courtesy, and it, to some extent it's done just to make communities function, because although there's borders with, you know, cities, villages, towns, you know, all those municipalities and local units of government, frankly, if you're driving down the highway and you're just a resident, you don't necessarily know when you came to the end of the city and the start of the town. And as a matter of fact, the road has to get cleared or you don't get to work. And I know I spoke to several people this morning that, you know, had to have some trees removed prior to getting down the road, or some of them have somewhat remote driveways, same situation, so they're late. And if they're a county employee and they, you know, are in one of those, they're all critical employees, but if they're one really critical, you're a forward-facing somebody who meets the public, and you're trapped at your house, and now you scramble to fill that position. So there's 600 plus of us, that work for the county, all work in a coordinated effort to make sure that these things work. And then you look at all the damage that occurs, and then you have to clean those up. You know, we have parks all over. Those have campers in them. You know, you want to make sure they're safe, which will, I know you're going to ask me another question, but it segues right into, we're building a safe house out at Lake Wazeecha, specifically for these instances. A number of years ago, if some of you remember, we had, it was like 1,000 trees down just at Wazeecha, you know, in that campground, some laying on cars. We've had a couple big storms out there on top of campers. And, you know, where do you go if you're in a camp or a tent? So it was a somewhat extraordinarily expensive project, the vast majority of it funded by, you know, federal or and or state grants. But we're going to have a safe house out there where we can evacuate those people in the event we have those warnings in a storm like last night.
What is the timetable on that?
Well, that's a really good question. It's up, completely enclosed. I was in there about a week ago, you know, and there's still some interior finish that needs to be done, but they were pulling all the electrical lines. My hope would be, and I should have our parks or our emergency management office really coordinated this, but I'm guessing that by midsummer this should be complete. That would be my hope.
Lance, we a couple of years back, I think most local residents that were here remember the storm that hit us, the really bad one. And that's all I got to say. I don't even have to give you a date or anything. Most people know that. We've had some storms since, and of course, the one we had last night. Thinking of that first one that I'm mentioning there with that big storm, how much do we learn from these when they happen? We've got we've got great people that you mentioned. You gave us a great rundown there of the things that go on overnight or are happening when a lot of people are sleeping or is going on right now even in our community. And I appreciate that rundown and how prepared we are as a community for this. But what do we learn from these situations as well that we can maybe improve on? Or, hey, this is working really good.
Well, you learn a lot. And that's the reason we have some of these tabletop exercises there. And then we have some actual live things you'll see occasionally. You're probably a little inconvenienced because we shut the roads down. We have those victims, so to speak. You know, we use our emergency responders and how to handle this. But there's a lot you learn. And the thing I've learned the most, you know, I have the opportunity occasionally when I wear my other hat at the state level to meet with FEMA or the national security agencies around the country. And the one thing they'll tell you in these is no matter how prepared you are, you're never totally prepared. And if you test your systems and you go, all is good, you didn't test them enough. So the one thing I get from those people and the one thing we try to expound upon and bring forth to our different department heads is when we run those exercises, the goal is to test it till it breaks. And so if you test it till it breaks, you kind of know where that weak spot may be. And then you try to shore that up and make it better for the next time. Communication is key to a lot of this. You know, we're really lucky. I was in a meeting about a month ago down in Madison, and I was with the executive directors of the Towns Association and the League of Municipalities and some of these others. And it's amazing to me in how many counties where those local units of government don't speak. And I said, they were having a conversation about that with lack of cooperation. And I said, I already have a question for you. I said, how prevalent is that thought? Because I said, if I have a question, I call the mayor. You know, we have a new mayor, but, you know, Mayor Zacher's there, I'm sure. You know, prior to that, you know, Mayor Blazer, prior to that, Mayor Vruwink, and I can go back. I can go back a lot of mayors. I'm getting pretty old.
Been doing this a while, man.
But at the end of the day, whether it's those town officials or whether those mayors, our state representatives, I talk to some or many of them on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And it amazed me. And the directors of both of those associations said, and it may be a slight exaggeration, they said, there's about three of those counties in the entire state where you have those that communication. Mm. I go to counties where they, you know, the board says we don't speak to the sheriff. Mm-hmm. The sheriff doesn't speak to the board, or they don't, or they don't talk to their legislators. And, you know, we're lucky. And, you know, a knock on wood on your desk here, which I think is probably more like Formica, but at the end of the day, you know, you have the sheriff in here. He's a great guy. I mean, you've had our Chad Schooley from our Parks Department in here, our emergency management people, the mayors. You know, this jail project we're doing right now, that wouldn't have occurred without cooperation from the city, where we looked at how do we, you know, build this contiguous to the current building? How do we save dollars? You know, we abandoned a street. We built over the top of it. There were some things that we did for the city, you know, in kind that worked well. You go to some of these other communities, they don't talk to each other. Mm-hmm. And so communication is the key to all of this.
Yeah. Speaking with Lance Plumbo, Wood County Board Chairman, and Lance, with the storms, with what happened from that, we certainly want to send our thoughts with everybody out there that maybe without power or anything, we're thinking of you and hope to hang in there. You mentioned about planning and how important that is, and I can't help having my Nana's voice in my head. You want to make God laugh, make plans. That is one of those simple phrases that we've heard for many years, but there is some truth there to it of the planning part of you're almost planning for the things you can't plan for. And there's an art to that. And so much of it comes down to when you can't plan things, you have good communication. You know the number to call, or you know who's going to be calling you, or it isn't introducing yourself and almost wasting time. It's they know who you are. They know you've already talked with these people. It's a great note, not only in our community, but I think going forward for other communities, for even our national government, that we could use more of. That it comes back to something I keep talking about, and I've been doing for about a good 4 or 5 years now, that Wisconsin has an opportunity to be such an example to the rest of the union. We are such a purple state, and we have so many, and I'm talking on a national level, but on local levels as well, to the remainder of the state, and even to the union itself, of being an example of this, is what happens when you just talk to each other.
Yeah, and it isn't, you know, we talk about units of government often when I'm in here. It's also school districts and superintendents. And, you know, we have a local emergency planning committee that where we meet with local businesses. Because if the power goes out or if there's a disaster that occurs at one of those, you know, it could be chemical related. It could be other things. How do we respond and how do we handle that? And frankly, you know, in those businesses or in the county itself or in communities, leadership changes. So if you think you educated everybody last year, you may have a total change this year. Mm. You know, and I go back and I looked at the unbelievable communication we have with some of these flooding issues. Now, I can't imagine going back 100 years, but I was in the Emergency Operations Center a number of years ago. And, you know, you're listening to the radio transmissions. And by the way, I'm making these numbers up if there's any experts out there. But it was like, I'm serious. It was like, you know, take the old plane down 4 inches, move up Dubai. We can take 4 more inches at Pete and Well, dump some into Castle Rock. The dams here are, you know, at crisis levels. I can't even imagine how you did that 50 years ago or more, 100 years ago. Because the communication's pretty instant. But those communications happen with not only within our own county and within our own units of government, but county to county. And then, you know, if we need it, the state. And then the federal government eventually may come in. But as locals, we need to deliver. I mean, we're the first ones on the scene. We're here. And then it gets further complicated to a great extent when you bring in, you know, national media if something really happens. And, you know, somebody said the other day, I think we had he was the head guy with the FBI speaking to us. And he said, you know, when you have every major network and every reporter in the country in your community, it's extremely helpful to get the news out, but it's extremely difficult to coordinate. And to some extent, it hinders a little bit what your response may be. So a lot goes into this. And, you know, we were lucky in this one. You know, my first call to emergency management last night, and I don't know what time that was. It was 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, somewhere in that vicinity. First question always is anybody injured that we're aware of? And obviously, we might not be aware of something, but the initial news I got yesterday, both with emergency management, with the sheriff's department, was we're not aware of anybody, any injuries or fatalities or anything to that extent. So that's the first good part. Mm-hmm. And then the property damage, we start to clean up. You know, we assess it, obviously, get out there and clean it up. Mm-hmm. And then I'm looking out the window here at the station. Yep. A little cloudy right now, but at some point I think we're supposed to get some sunshine. And
we're hoping for
dry
it.
Dry it out a little bit, and that helps the next day.
It is roulette with the weather, that's for sure.
You know, and then there's one other real interesting part in Wood County. You know, if you're down here in southern Wood County on this side of the river, you know, everything's sand. You know, we can get 3 inches of rain, and tomorrow, you know, you're running irrigation again. Mm-hmm. You get up to the other side of the river towards Marshfield, and you get 3 inches of rain, and you've got a lot of standing water. Yeah. So even the way we deal with flooding issues, with drainage, you know, extremely different.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking with Lance Palillo, Wood County Board Chairman member. And Lance, you mentioned communication. You've also mentioned our new mayor. How is that going, coordinating working with the new mayor?
Well, you know, I obviously have had, you know, those congratulatory notes back and forth with the mayor. He's somebody I've known on the periphery for years. Mm. We're trying to get a meeting scheduled here, you know, like in the next week, to get together and really talk about that. And, you know, one of the things with our new construction project of a jail, our county board never had a county board room. Mm. So we're always trying to facilitate our courtroom operations and coordinate those with our county board meetings and have them there. With that new facility, there's actually a dedicated meeting room there. Mm. And that meeting room won't be a courtroom, so to speak, but it's going to be a, you know, they were kidding the other day. They said it'll be a, you know, community room slash county boardroom. And I said, no, it's a county boardroom slash community room. But one of the things we did years and years ago, and I'm going back a long time because I think probably Mary Jo Carson was probably the mayor.
Oh,
at the
wow.
time.
Yeah.
And Mary Jo would coordinate some meetings in southern Wood County with community leaders without an agenda, just to talk about, you know, what we're doing. And I've reached out to a number of those leaders recently and said, are you on board if I start doing that again? No agenda, no topic ahead of time. Yeah. Let's just sit down and tell me what you're doing. Tell me what challenges you're facing. And now we're going to have a room here very, very shortly where we can bring all those people in without going off-site or somewhere else. So my hope is that we do that, because that coordination is imperative. Just to forget government, just a good operation.
Yeah. I've talked about this with almost every one of our public leaders. Even Senator Tessin and I were talking about this last Friday. It's one thing when our high schools play each other. Like, you know, there's rivalries in sports. We're all for that. There's nothing wrong with that. I got no problem with that. But as far as not working with somebody or not reaching out to somebody or having communication because you live in a different zip code, those days, I don't know if they ever existed, but they can't exist anymore. It's too important nowadays to communicate with each other. It's too important nowadays to work together. We are stronger together. We see this with our nonprofits. They get it. They've understood it. They understand that if we work together, we can actually do more for our communities. Our communities, our cities need, our city leaders need to understand this too. And it really doesn't, and I'm not pushing, this isn't, I'm actually proud of this. I think we do this pretty darn well in this area from everybody I hear from people like yourself to Sheriff Becker. It's just something that we have to keep on. We have to keep doing. And what a great idea to be able to bring that back. It's interesting. I've heard her name a couple of times, Mary Jo's. I've heard a couple of times in just the past month. And it's been noteworthy of the things that the legacy she had around here.
Yeah, and I can go back a couple mayors ahead of that yet. But, you know, it really is important. And local government is supposed to be nonpartisan. Now, and I've been really lucky in Wood County. That's the way we approach business. And we haven't seen that, you know, extreme partisan push from either side in the boardroom. Now, generally speaking, I know where somebody maybe sits politically, but it doesn't come to fruition in the decisions that we've made in Wood County. The sad part is the further you get, if I call it up the food chain, you would wish that or hope that common sense would always prevail. But there are pressures when you get to those upper levels of government. They say, well, that common sense, we all agree, but if we agree with them, now we've agreed and we can't agree.
Yeah.
And I'm going,
yeah,
but you really need to agree, because at some point, common sense comes into play. I mean, I think everybody, you know, let's take it down to the lowest common denominator. If there's a tree laying over the highway and the fire department can't get out down the road, I don't care if you're a Democrat, a Republican, or an independent, we got to move the tree. Mm-hmm. And when it comes into, well, how do you feel about, immigration or abortion or would come into the decision if we move the tree is ridiculous.
Yeah.
And you would hope that that common sense would come into all of those other decisions. It doesn't always. But so luckily in Wood County, in our local politics, we haven't seen that. But we've seen it in some of the surrounding counties.
The tree is not a Democrat or a Republican.
None of those inanimate objects.
No. And I say the same thing about this when it comes to diseases or COVID or anything else. These things do not have an R or D in front of their name. While we're bickering, they're winning.
Yeah.
Whether it is a tree in the road or it is cancer or it is any of these things continue to win while we continue to bicker. We need to get over that. We need to get over our politics. We really do.
Yeah, and you know, we're pretty lucky. We have really, I mean, our state representatives here at all levels are really great. They're fantastic to work with. And I think we work with the community in mind all the time. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of places that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, I get to deal with one of those other hats around the state and I see it. But so as I sit in your radio station here today, I can say, Wood County residents, you're in pretty good hands here.
Yeah, yeah. We're very proud of that, and we want more and more audience participation when it comes to these things. And that, by that, I mean, of course, our community being involved with boards and being up to date on these, even attending meetings. And certainly keep in mind that when it comes to our Wood County board, you can find the agenda, the details from these at woodcountywi.gov. Woodcountywi.gov is where you can find that information. And Lance, whether it is some meetings that you've been a part of already or some upcoming, is there anything we want to end on here as far as those board meetings?
Yeah, maybe. Let me just quickly add, too, when I talk about the people here, you know, our sheriff's department's out, emergency management, but we've got, you know, 75,000 sets of eyes out there. Mm-hmm. So if you see something out there in a storm like this, let us know. You know, we're kind of in this process right now where we start next year's budget again. Mm-hmm. And that always becomes interesting. You know, we've had some, I'll call it grace with ARPA money that came through in the first, you know, last couple of years. But we're going to be dealing with, you know, a federally qualified health center that is likely going to happen in Wisconsin Rapids, which will be a huge benefit to the community. We're dealing with child care issues. We're dealing with a 70-year-old HVAC system in the courthouse that needs to be replaced. We have water issues up. So it's budget time of the year. It's, you know, where the rubber meets the road because we don't have a money tree. If anybody out there has one, get a hold of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And Lance, how can they get a hold of you about that money tree?
Well, I'm really accessible. My number is on the website. It's in the guide that comes out to the county. You can probably look me up at the phone book.
Appreciate the time, Lance. Thank you again for joining us.
Thanks, James. Always appreciate it.
Again, find out more at woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. And be sure to, if you haven't done it already, type in your search bar on YouTube, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Subscribe to their page. Keep up to date on all the things they are doing over there. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. Big thank you to all of our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. We'll take a time out and have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute, and today's tip is about raising kids to be smart about money. First, start with showing more than telling. Invite your kid to sit in on your budgeting process or whatever you do when you go over your bills. Second, try to make money normal. You know, talk them through your household expenses, your financial goals, answer questions they have honestly. Now, you don't have to do this every single month, but including them 3 or 4 times a year can really help kids get that, you know, talking about money is normal, having a process about it is normal, and that budgeting is a great tool for managing money. And third, tell them about 1 or 2 of your own money mistakes and what you learned from it. You know, we're all human. We're all gonna make mistakes, and learning to get back on that money horse after you fall off, man, that's probably one of the best things we can help our kids learn. This is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Until next time, take good care.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's 2024 and Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Water World, is ready for another season. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
This is news from WMDX Madison. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. It's been a deadly week here in Wisconsin for people riding ATVs. A man died and a woman was hurt in a crash Sunday in Lafayette County. Another man died in an accident Thursday in Outagamie County. And a week ago in Shawano County, a 13-year-old girl died in a crash. If you're born after 1988, you must take an ATV safety course to drive on public lands. But the DNR says those courses are open to everyone. More and more evidence shows social media can be dangerous for kids. Deb Schmill's daughter died of an accidental overdose after she was bullied online.
We want to make sure that no other children die or are harmed by the same design features that have harmed our children.
The U.S. House Committee takes up the bipartisan Kids Online Safety Act this week. For Civic Media, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Portage County Executive John Pavelski is taking a temporary medical leave of absence. A press release from the county says they look forward to his return in the near future. Until then, County Board Chair Ray Resser will perform the duties of the county executive. They expect no interruption in the county's operations. County officials ask that you do not call, text, or email directly to Executive Pavelski and respect the privacy of John and his family during this time. You'll still be able to get to the Rafters parking lot despite the construction on Lincoln Street this summer. Chestnut and Witter Streets will be open to the north parking lot entrance. This will be the only entrance open, so it will need to be used by both incoming and outgoing traffic. The Witter Field season opener is May 28th. First pitch against the Fond du Lac Dock Spiders is at 6:35. And that's what you need to know. I'm Melissa Kay, WFHR and WIRI News.
I'm Pete with 60 Second Showbiz Beat. And in People Who Do Desperate Things Because They Haven't Had a Hit Record in Years news, Kid Rock pulled a handgun out and started waving it around during an interview with a Rolling Stone reporter. According to a tweet from Rolling Stone on X Twitter, during the interview, Rock got more and more drunk and belligerent as he spouted racial slurs and shared what he thought was wrong with America, like immigration and the fact that no one buys his music anymore. And how come there aren't any more trust fund kids who change their names to make themselves more manly? As he left the interview, Rock, formerly known by his real name, Robert James Ritchie, asked the reporter to write a horrific article about him, saying it helps him. Rock's last top 40 hit was in 2008 and was a song that sampled three other songs. You can see why Robert James, probably RJ to his friends before he became famous, might seem a little testy. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
More clouds than sun today and a few spotty showers lingering, alongside breezy winds whipping up to 30 miles per hour. Highs today will scrape the upper 60s and we'll get a shove warmer tomorrow to the mid-70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up next on the show, a special edition of the Recombobulation Area with Dan Schaefer. Paul Noonan talks all things sports and weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Two.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, May 27th, 2024. I have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're welcoming into the studio some of our favorite people in this whole area, our friends from the Opportunity Development Center, ODC. First up, we have Ann Lee Peck with us, Director of Public Relations and Fund Development. Ann, always good to see you.
Always good to see you.
Thanks for being here,
Ann. Thanks for having us.
We want to welcome in as well Ashley Nickel, Communications Specialist. Ashley, it's always good to see you.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks for being here. Nice shirt, by the way. I like that. Nice shirt. Very well done. And we, of course, have to introduce the star of this show, this segment, David. David, good to have you with us.
Thank you, James. It's always a pleasure to be on the air with you.
Well, and it's dangerous for me, David. Every time I bring you on the air, it is more and more tempting for our listeners and our ownership to take you. You have my job. So, but that's how good you are. That's how much we want to have you here and how much we appreciate our ODC, Ann. We have a lot to cover today. I will stop rambling and let's dive right in to May being Mental Health Awareness Month. And certainly we'd love to bring attention to that. We've been able to on a lot of our shows this week. I want to get into a little bit more of the month with you, though, and this fun event you have coming up. The Force Hope Golf Event coming up on May 31st over at beautiful Sand Valley.
Yeah, so we're real excited to wrap up May Mental Health Awareness Month at Sand Valley. Our Four Hope Golf Benefit will be happening on May 31st. So we're super excited. We are also at capacity, and so we've filled out all of our sponsorship opportunities and then also filled out all of the golf opportunities available. So we'll have 88 golfers joining us, and we're just super excited for all of the support throughout the entire month, but this is really the culmination of Mental Health Awareness Month and raising funds for ODC's Opportunity for Hope Mental Health Clinic as well. So yeah, we appreciate just all of the community support.
The clinic, we don't get a chance to touch on this too often. How's the clinic going? Things seem to be running very well over there.
Yeah, the clinic is going very, very well. We are actually currently looking for a couple more therapists because the need is so great, but it's going very, very well. All of our therapists are certainly busy. We are also supporting some local school districts with mental health services, and so just a real wide array of the things that we're doing in the clinic. So.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to an event like this, people aren't able and businesses aren't able to attend this one, but this will be back next year, and we want to remind everybody about that, and that there are other events and other opportunities for the community and for businesses to work with the ODC. It is one of the greater organizations you can attach yourself to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's always something happening. And one of the latest things that we've done is we do have our essentials pantry in our For Hope clinic. And so we have it, we were looking for donations for non-perishable food items, hygiene products, things like that. There's always an opportunity for anybody to help in any way possible to support our clinic.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? I don't think we've touched on that yet.
Sure. So, really what has happened is when people have come in, they're typically in crisis, and we find that, really they're not only in mental health crisis and need support, but they need other just essential items that they don't have or don't have money for. And so we actually started an essentials pantry, and we started it actually over the winter when people didn't have warm coats or boots or hats. And so we have an area in our vestibule that is always open during normal clinic business hours. So right now there's still winter hats and coats in there. We got to swap that out. We've got some other clothing available, but there's also a little bit of a food pantry. So if people need things, they can grab what they need. We have essentials kits that contain just typical health and hygiene products. So if people have a need for those are all available as well. We also in our vestibule do have Narcan and also fentanyl test strips available. So really trying to be an overall resource for the individuals in the community that may need it.
If other individuals would like to donate to that or participate with that and add to it, how can they do that?
Yeah, so, well, they could either give us a call, or if they have things that they would like to drop off, we do have a collection box actually in the main office at ODC. So not in the For Hope or the Opportunity for Hope Clinic, but in ODC's entryway, we do have a collection box for anyone that might want to bring in some items.
And Ann, who asked you guys to do this?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah.
Nobody.
It was just something that we saw that was a need in the community, and we decided that we needed to do something about it. And so we're just fortunate enough to have such great supporters that have donated some upfront starter money and donated some products to us so that we were able to continue to keep this rolling.
I apologize for the way I did that, but I just couldn't. You guys don't brag about yourselves.
No.
I want to do it. I want to brag about you. You saw an opening in our community. You saw a need, and you did something about it.
Yep.
Like, that's just awesome. We have normalized those kind of things way too much, especially with our nonprofits. A big kudos to everybody at the ODC for doing those kind of things. This is not the first time we've done this with the mental health clinic and other things.
Right.
Just really find it remarkable, and I'm always inspired by the work you guys do there.
Thank you. And we realize that there's other organizations out there that have those things available to our community, but when a person's in crisis and they have an immediate need, we're not trying to fill that need, you know, take that away from other organizations. It's meant to really just be a short stopgap until we can get people connected to the other resources that are out there for more of a longer-term solution for people.
When I say the vital, great work the ODC is doing, these are the kind of things we're touching on and we're talking about. And we're talking about also events like the sensory-friendly roller skating event that happened at Skate City on Friday. Is happening Friday, June 28th from 10:30 to 1:30. It's open to the public. It'll be an 80s theme from what I hear at Ashley, that's going to be fun.
Yeah, we're so excited. It's the first year doing it, and it'll be sensory friendly, so it'll have soft music, dim lighting, and most of the games will be turned off, and there's a need for this in the area, and we're really excited to bring it to the community, just a community event. It'll be open to the public, $6.99 per person, and all you can eat pizza and soda. And there's definitely a need for this in the area. So if it goes well, we want to do more events like this in the future in other communities in the area.
Yeah.
So yes, please stay tuned for more, and it's going to be great.
Looking forward to more and more events like this. This is certainly something that I think that we're going to see more events like this in the future as we go forward here. My godson is on the spectrum, and it's something that we, as he was getting older, he's 12, 13 now, I think. When he was real little, he couldn't go to birthday parties really as much and things and do a lot of the things that little kids like to do. And having more not only events like this, but awareness of this kind of subject and why this is so important and why we have things like this. It's a credit to, again, the ODC, but I do want to send a credit to Skate City as well. I think most of us listening have been to Skate City at some point or another and understand that that's a pretty loud place. It gets pretty loud, and there's a lot going on. There's a lot that hits your senses and everything. It can be overwhelming for me, and I can't imagine for others that deal with these other issues. So a really important reason to have this, and a big, big compliment to a company like that in Skate City that sees this and is working with everybody. Was it fun to work with them on this?
Yeah, and there are so many experiences and events that people with autism or sensory sensitivities, they have to either choose to either just miss out on the event or just go to it and then suffer and then have a hard time. And so it's just great to be able to create an event like this where it's inclusive and everyone can just have a really fun time.
We've got a need for this, and it's great to see that is happening, that we're doing more of this. It also brings attention and awareness to this subject as well, and hopefully gets more and more people understanding of the need for something like this. It's a fun event, and as we get closer to June 28th, we're going to be hyping it up, talking about it. We're going to make sure that we get a really nice, fun crowd there for this event. Again, we're hoping to have more of these events, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, definitely.
Is there anything else you want to make sure that we touch on and we cover on this? So I think you got it. You nailed that. That was really good. Nicely job, Ashley.
Yeah,
that was great work. Nicely done. I did want to talk a little bit about, especially, it doesn't seem to matter. There's a couple of subjects that really go into almost every guest we have on, and one of them is certainly raffles. This area loves raffles, and they love raffles, and we've got a good one coming up with the ODC Cash Raffle.
Yep, we do. We do. Just want to share kind of your last chance to get cash calendar raffle tickets from ODC. We'll be drawing 20 days in the month of June. We have over $3,300 in cash prizes, and this wouldn't be possible again without the support of our community, because all of the cash has been donated by our local business community so that we could use this as a fundraiser. So we are selling the tickets, one for 10, three for 20. If anybody's interested in purchasing tickets, they can reach out to us or call or stop into our main office. And what's really unique is we always do it on Facebook Live, and David has had a chance to help us do, last year helped us do the ticket drawings, and so it's really great.
That is correct.
It's really a fun way to get everybody involved, and you know, it's an affordable way for people to help support ODC and get to know a little bit more about us. So,
yeah, you guys got a lot to give away too, money wise.
We do.
Get in on this, everybody.
Yeah, I think the lowest dollar amount is $100 or $125 on a day. So, you know, it's not, you know, it's a nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice amount, and our biggie is $500 on the very last day. So.
Ooh. And this, again, this is going on coming up in June, and it'll go through May 31st. Keep that in mind, everybody. Be on the lookout. One of the great ways to keep an eye on this is to be following the ODC on Facebook. If you're already following them, good on you. If not, go ahead and type in your search bar on Facebook, ODC or Opportunity Development Center. ODC, it should pop up. Mm-hmm. I know that's how it does for me. And be sure to like the page and keep up to date on the great things that they're doing over there. If people want to purchase tickets, Anne, are they available yet?
They still are available. Yep, okay. All the way up until May 31st, you can get tickets. So give us a call, and we'll set you up with getting you some tickets.
And you can find out more at odcinc.com, odcinc.com. We are speaking with Anne Lee Peck, Ashley Nickel, and, of course, our good friend David. And, David, I wanted to talk to you. I should say future program director around here, David. David, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Taco John's, one of my favorite places. Taco John's in Wisconsin Rapids is going to be hosting a benefit night for the ODC, or did host a benefit night for the ODC. I apologize. How did that go?
Well, actually, it went really good the other night. We had maybe about four or five people that came in, and of course, before I helped out, I got kind of hungry anyway. So
yeah.
So I just decided to get something to eat. So.
You're only human. I mean, at Taco John's. You can't help yourself.
So, yeah.
That's great. And did you have fun interacting with people?
Oh yeah. I chatted with some people as they came in, and Mark and Lisa and I were just having a high old time.
Really good.
You know, we were giggling and laughing during the whole thing.
Awesome.
That was really fun.
Good.
Yeah,
good.
We just really wanted to give a shout out to Taco John's for doing that. Ashley and I were at another event. There were so many things going on in May, but I understand that it was so busy, like the line was forming out the door and things like that. So kudos to Taco John's and to everybody that came to support us. And we're going to be doing more events like that, not only here in Rapids, but in all of the communities that that we serve. So just to keep a lookout for those other things happening.
Looking forward to more of these kind of events, and not only because of the attention it brings and the awareness it brings to the ODC and the work that you all are doing, but the opportunity for more and more people to get to meet people like David and get to talk with people like David and such, and have more of these conversations in our just organically in our day-to-day lives. It's fantastic.
Exactly. Well, of course, David knows everybody, and everybody knows David.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's a good ODC spokesperson. And not by far.
I appreciate that too, Ann.
I do also want to mention that Taco John's donated 20% of their sales from the evening to the ODC. Just a big compliment, big tip of the hat to them.
Yeah.
And buy local, support local, everybody. And I'm not biased at all. It's not just because I love Taco John's so much. I'm not saying that. I wanted to get into another topic with you, Ann. You guys are excited that you're announcing that you have several graduations from your Project Search programs in Mid-State's Adaptive Career Awareness Class Series. Can we touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So Project Search is a high school transition program for students with disabilities. We actually have four sites. There's one here at Aspirus Riverview Hospital, and then we also have one at UWSP in Stevens Point, up at the Marshfield Hospital, and then also Wausau Hospital. And so May is a huge month, you know, for everybody just around graduations. And so really the focus of Project Search is to support individuals with disabilities in becoming ready for, you know, adulthood and graduating school and getting out in the workforce. And so our individuals are participating in their graduation completion ceremonies. It's been really exciting. We've had two so far. We've got two more coming up this week. But it's amazing how far the students really develop their skills in that last year of high school. And there are so many of the students that we've attended that have already gotten jobs, and so it'll be a really nice smooth transition for folks once they finish with mm-hmm. with high school to go right into, you know, having a job and feeling valued and kind of move right into adulthood like all of us. So
yeah, it's quite a smooth transition. It's something that we've talked about with Mid-State for a long time with our high schools and kids going from high school to Mid-State, from Mid-State right to the workforce.
Yeah,
it's great to see with something like this.
Yeah, so actually, so Project Search is kind of a little separate project than Mid-State, but what's really cool is this is the second year Mid-State has done an adapted career awareness mm-hmm. series. And so this year, gosh, what was the number they said? How many people did we have? 37 graduates?
About that, yes.
About 37 mm-hmm. graduates.
That's great.
So we had folks from ODC in Wisconsin Rapids,
that's right.
Stevens Point, and then also CCLS joined us this year. So mm-hmm. It's been a fantastic partnership where it's really about teaching individuals what different career opportunities are out mm-hmm. there. Mid-State has been amazing with setting up some really great programming ideas. And David actually had the opportunity to participate and actually had graduation yesterday.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you, James. There is one other thing I wanted to touch on before we end the program. Next week on the 30th of November, I mean, the 30th of May, I'm going to be going to my first Raptor game of the season. So with Troop 105. So that's going to be a good time, too. So.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part of the Mid-State career awareness?
Well, my favorite part of the Mid-State awareness was giving what they call a graduation speech to a whole pile of people. It went something like this. My friends, thank you very much for coming to the graduation. Everybody having a good, I'm glad everybody's having a good time, you know, and I hope we can do this again someday. So
yeah, so it really teaches about different, you know, hospitality.
Yeah.
What other
right.
things did you learn about? You went to the nursing simulation center Riverview Hospital.
Yeah, that's right.
You had a share your hobby day. They had horses come to the parking lot at Mid-State.
Cool.
And so
right.
it really is just a nice opportunity to explore different things that even I haven't had the chance to explore. So it was really great. So
looking forward to hearing more about this as we have more and more people attending. That's a great event, great idea.
This is just the second year. Last year, it was just with ODC. It was a very small group last year, and so I anticipate this continuing. It just was, we've got some really nice photos and some nice video of some of the speeches from the students, and it really was an amazing event.
Well, and it's interesting because we have something that another teacher and I at the acting and writing school I work at that we've set up where kids graduate and then where do they go from there? So many of our students, they graduate and like, well, how do I get an agent? How do I get into this? How do I get into that? And we're trying to give them a transition. We have a class that's transitioning them from that to that. The job readiness kind of part of this is really interesting to me. And just for like anybody, let alone for this organization and this tie-in, it's a great idea. Really good idea.
Yeah, yeah. It actually, you know, it really was a brainchild of one of the dean from Mid-State and Stevens Point, and then one of our staff members. And it just amazes me, like how it's grown just from year one to year two. So.
Just got a couple minutes left, guys. Great job by everybody. And I did want to wrap up talking a little bit about one of your newest programs.
Yeah. So just wanted to share that we are now able to offer corporate guardianship services. That business is, we're calling it Guardians of Hope. And so we are able to, you know, if people need guardianship and they maybe don't have family or friends that are willing or able to do that, ODC now has the capability of providing that service for the individuals that we're supporting. And so we are really excited about having that available for people. And, you know, really just the mission is going to be inspire, empower, and support individuals in creating a brighter future. So, you know, providing hopefulness for people so that they can still achieve their goals with the support of a guardian that can help them through the things that they need.
It's a great program. People can find out more about this and some of the other great things that you guys are doing over there. If they want to find out about them, man, how can they reach you?
Yeah, so, well, they can call our main office at 715-424-2712, or they can go on our website, odcinc.com, or like and follow us on Facebook, ODCINC, and you'll find all the information that you need.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite parts anytime of my day is when you guys join us. Thank you for making my day and our listeners' day. We really, really do appreciate the time from all of you. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, David. Appreciate you.
And thank you for having me too, James.
Yeah.
And I hope to see you again in the future.
Oh, yeah. We'll see you real soon. Ashley, thank you again for the time, too.
Thanks.
And always good to see you, Ann.
Thank you.
Again, find out more at odcinc.com, odcinc.com. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine for you tomorrow right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Matt Mayer on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Mayer on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Todd Albaugh here. Join us next time as we welcome Jeff Timmer from the Lincoln Project in, looking at the day's headlines and also what's ahead for the Republican and Democratic state conventions. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The fantastic Jane Matt Nair of Matt Nair on Air. I'm a big fan like the Rose Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Cotton Bowl. Well, now, from Snoop Dogg, they're going to have the Snoop Bowl, the Snoop Bowl. How about that, Jane?
I think we're missing the obvious. Where's the Punch Bowl? Where's the Toilet Bowl? I think that there are other bowls that are being neglected.
I think it could maybe be the Snooper Bowl, though.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News brief, multiple people are dead in tiny Greenfield, Iowa, after a tornado leveled parts of the town yesterday. Governor Kim Reynolds saw the devastation firsthand.
I've always said Iowa is one big community, and we certainly see that in times of tragedy, and we're witnessing it again, but it's horrific.
Many of the families of the victims of the shooting at an elementary school in Uvalde, Texas, 2 years ago, have agreed to a $2 million settlement with the city. Their attorney, Josh Koskoff.
It's a way for a city like Uvalde to make peace,
to extend an open hand, a hug, to these families.
Norway, Ireland, and Spain today formally recognized a Palestinian state, angering House Speaker Mike Johnson.
This is not the time for anybody in the international community, including our own president, to be stepping in and trying to micromanage the affairs in Israel.
Israel today immediately recalled its ambassadors to the three countries. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Matt Nair on air.
Dr. Karen Tamarius, she's a political psychiatrist, and we're talking about how to talk to people with which we do not agree.
Think of the mind as a rider on an elephant. The conscious part is the rider, and the emotional part is the elephant. If you want the person to change their mind, you need to talk with the elephant, not the rider.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.